In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, June 16th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. International Christian Concern reports a new wave of kidnappings in Upper Egypt. 7 Christian teenage girls have been abducted. Most likely, they'll be forced into Muslim marriages. Egyptian police are slow to help these Christian parents find their missing children. The World View spoke to Sandra Elliott from International Christian Concern about the kidnappings.
The sad reality is nothing is new here. This has been going on for about 30 years, and it comes in waves. It's not, you know, one case every 2 years. It's usually about 20 cases at a time. In 2013 and 14, within the span of about 3 months, we saw 20 kidnappings in the Minya governorate alone, and those were actually for ransom. Now we're seeing this brand new wave of bride snatching. So the families who are losing their daughters, they're not even given the chance to reclaim their daughters by, you know, completely lose all their funds. They really are just taken and they never hear from them again.
The Lord executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord sets the prisoners free. Psalm 146, 7. By a vote of 85 to 13, the United States Senate has voted to include our wives and daughters in the military draft. The United States House voted against the measure, so the issue will be resolved in conference committee. Senator Ted Cruz called it a, quote, radical departure, unquote, from American history. Nehemiah spoke to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Nehemiah 4:14. The American Center for Law and Justice reports that the United States is preferring Muslim refugees from Iraq and Syria over Christians. From Iraq last year, the U.S. welcomed 11,086 Muslims compared to 433 Christians. From Syria, only 28 Christians came here compared to 5,435 Muslims. According to the ACLJ, under U.S. and international refugee law, religion is a criterion for granting refugee status, something that the Obama administration refuses to acknowledge. Steve Gaines, pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, became the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention yesterday, reported the Christian Examiner. Pastor Johnny Hunt, the former Southern Baptist Convention president, described Gaines as having a, quote, passionate desire for spiritual revival in our churches and nation, unquote. A new measure approved by a subcommittee of the Arkansas Legislative Council would allow counselors to refuse counseling services to gays and lesbians, according to Christian headlines. However, the measure also requires the counselor to refer the counselee to another healthcare provider. The Canadian Supreme Court has ruled that most acts of bestiality are legal in that country. Animal rights activists in Canada are calling for stricter laws on this perversion. The court did not refer to Leviticus 20:15 in its proceedings, and no Christian protests have been recorded in the media concerning these abominations. Obamacare insurance will see double-digit increases next year, according to a recent report from the Kaiser Family Foundation. The silver policy premium will increase an average of 11% and as much as 26% in some cities like Portland, Oregon. That's well above the average inflation rate of 1 to 2%. The Federal Reserve Board decided not to raise the Fed interest rate after a 2-day meeting this week. The economy, they said, is too weak, given the recent May jobs report was the worst in 6 years. The stock market also registered a 5-day losing streak. The body of the 2-year-old boy, snatched by an alligator at a Disney resort beach, has been found not very far from where he had been playing. His body was found intact in 6 feet of water. As of yesterday, Disney closed all the beaches at their resorts. The world's oldest computer, the Antikythera mechanism, is still fascinating scientists and historians. Discovered in 1901, the mechanism is recognized as the world's first mechanical computer. Scholars from around the world have been studying it for the past 10 years, learning how the Greeks measured time, tracked planetary motion, and even predicted eclipses with the mechanism. Historian Alexander Jones told the New York Times that this device is, quote, the single most information-rich object that has been uncovered by archaeologists from ancient times, unquote. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. Proverbs 25:2. And that's the world view on this Thursday, June 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. I'm Kevin Swanson, and once again, we broadcast from my studios out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado during the breakdown of an American republic, the breakdown of an entire empire, a civilization, a society is breaking down as the social fabric of the nation is unraveling, and that inevitably leads to a political and social collapse. And that's what we're witnessing in our present day. And so hopefully, as Christians, we understand what is happening as man is destroying himself, but of course the gospel of Jesus Christ still reaches. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still effective. It still reaches those who are crying out for God's salvation from sin. And the problem, of course, with the nation is that not only have we sinned, but sin is now being institutionalized in just about every major institution in this country. That is, sin is preferred, and any form of righteousness is being persecuted across this country. Well, today we're going to talk about some of the effects of what happens when sin dominates in a nation, and violence, destruction, social unraveling is pretty much the result that we have witnessed and will continue to witness in the years to come. We have seen the worst anarchical shooting in American history, or at least in the last generation or two, in Orlando over the weekend. In fact, there were two shootings. One, a Christian singer, was shot in cold blood, and then there were some 49 homosexuals shot in cold blood at a homosexual club in Orlando, Florida, over the weekend. And again, a very horrendous, wicked act on the part of a lone shooter, as far as we know.
Yeah, 49 shot, 53 were seriously injured and taken to the hospital.
All
so
right.
So we have over 100 people actually shot, which, yeah, still, that is just a horrendous thing.
Steve Vaughn in studio with us today as we discuss this. And again, this is probably not the worst mass shooting in American history. Remember Mountain Meadows, where some 120 innocent citizens in a wagon train were shot by Mormons in the latter part of the 19th century. And that was the Mountain Meadows Massacre. Another very, very bad shooting incident in the nation's history. Also, Wounded Knee would be another example in which there was a mass extermination of the Lakota Indians. You may remember that authorities were trying to disarm the Lakota Indians, and there was a scuffle over a gun, and then that resulted in a mass shooting of some 250 innocent citizens there at Wounded Knee. Friends, it's not the first time that this kind of violence has happened. And, of course, right now people are arguing over the cause of it. And there's the blame game going on even as we speak. Both President Obama and presidential contender Hillary Clinton are blaming guns, calling for more gun control. Meantime, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is blaming President Obama for not opposing radical Islam and that being somehow the result of or producing this particular shooting. Al Sharpton blames it on homophobia. The shooter himself blames it on ISIS, or at least identified himself with ISIS during the rampage. And the Apostle Paul, however, blames it on a depraved mind. And I think, you know, we need to get back to the Word of God, because the Word of God gives us more of the cause. Of course, the secularists do not want to discuss the human heart. They don't want to think that the problem may be sin that dominates in a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Romans 1, Paul speaks on sin and the problem of the human heart. He speaks of homosexuality and other sins, of course, in this passage. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, and murder. So there it is. The Apostle Paul gives us a sense for what is happening. And friends, you've got to interpret what's going on in reality by the Word of God. Remember what our Lord said. Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, there it is, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. And our society is shot through with these sins. And remember that some sins give birth to other sins. So it should be no great surprise to you to discover that Orlando is shot through with sexual immorality and things like murder. The problem, of course, is man has a heart problem. The thing that Hillary Clinton, even Donald Trump and others do not want to admit. They don't want to go to the real source of the problem. They spend all of their time blaming the environment, blaming this influence, blaming that influence, and that's because they do not subscribe to the doctrine, the teaching of Jesus Christ, who comes to this world and defines the problem with the human mind and the human heart. That is, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Meaning that the heart is configured in the Word of God as a raging bull. You think about the bull in a rodeo that presses against the gate. They open the gate, and what happens? This bucking bull comes out of this chute, and he is out of control. That is the human heart. That's the picture of the human heart presented by the Word of God. And so this should be no surprise to you if occasionally a raging bull of the human heart explodes in a homosexual bar in Orlando, Florida. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me today.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you today, and we're discussing the Orlando shootings. One thing I will say about the news reports and the commentary on this particular incident, wow, confusion reigns. I'm talking about the Christian news sites right now.
Wow.
Confusion reigns. They're not even talking about the heart and the source of this thing, the reason for this thing, and using the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 or Jesus, who says, out of the heart comes all of these things. We're not hearing this, friends, in the major Christian news sources. And I would encourage you to clear up your confusion by just simply going to the Word of God. How would Jesus respond to this kind of an incident? How would Jesus respond to this kind of an incident? That's a really good question. I have not heard Luke 13 brought up by any of the Christian news sources, sadly. They say everything else, but they will not say what Jesus would say. They're apparently configured something of a caricature of a different Jesus, and this other Jesus responds this way, and they're ignoring the response that Jesus would take to any of these sorts of incidents. And I would just bring up Luke chapter 13, again, a very important passage that really should frame the way that Christians view these major incidents, these catastrophic, horrendous incidents that happen in American cities. Here is Luke chapter 13. Something like this happened in the period of Jesus' life, and somebody pointed out to Jesus, and he responded to it. So again, friends, how would Jesus respond to these sorts of incidents? You've got to go to the Word of God. You've got to go to Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So this is a mass shooting of some sort. A mass slaughter of some sort. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Now, people today, I say Christians today, professing Christians today, will be horrified by that kind of response. You don't hear that from Christian pastors. You don't hear them saying that. I haven't heard a single pastor refer to that particular passage, Steve. And again, I think it's because Christians are confused. They haven't read the Word of God. They're not rooted in God's Word, and therefore they respond wrongly. They don't respond the way that Jesus responds. They would hear Jesus respond to something like that when, you know, somebody comes up to Jesus and says, you know, "Have you heard about how there was the Orlando shooting and the blood was mingled and it was a terrible, terrible event? The catastrophe up in Galilee. What a terrible, terrible thing happening in Orlando up in Galilee." Jesus responded, "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." People would be horrified by that response. They'd say, "Wow, so insensitive. Jesus is so insensitive. Why does he respond in this sort of way? Why isn't this Jesus in Luke 13 like the Jesus I've concocted in my mind?" See, that's the impression that people have. They immediately see the Jesus in Scripture and they say, that doesn't comport at all with the Jesus that I believe in. And that's because there are multiple Jesuses. You know, there are multiple Christs. Jesus said there would be multiple Christs, and there are multiple Christs today. Christians ought to respond with, I think, the way that Jesus responded here in Luke chapter 13. The reason why Christians don't respond this way is because Christians don't fear God, and they don't really know this Christ. They've created a God in their own imagination. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Take heed. These are shots across the bow. Realize that this is a signal. This is a message to all of us. This is a message to the entire nation today, that we need to repent. Don't think that the Galileans were worse sinners than you. Don't think the homosexuals in this club were worse sinners than you. So, again, sin is a problem that we all suffer from. And anytime we see any kind of the incidents of death, of killing, of violence, these sorts of things, this needs to remind us of our own hearts that are sinful above all things and desperately wicked and in desperate need of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we see these things, and if there's a mass shooting or a mass killing, then it makes the news. But you take a look at how many, you know, not to diminish this at all, but how many people die every day is greatly greater than this.
Yeah.
But if they die without Christ, they perish.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what Jesus was saying. Yeah, this was a mass problem. This all happened at once, but there are many things that are happening at once right now.
Very, very serious thing. In other words, this is serious. Jesus is not making light of it. He's just simply saying, beware of the final judgment. Beware of your death. Beware of the potential of you meeting God's judgment and burning in hellfire forever. Repent or you will likewise perish. And I think at some point there needs to be a little urgency here. We need to press a message to the nation that we need to repent. This nation is under severe potential of God's judgment. And yes, the sin of homosexuality is a bit of the tip of the iceberg above the water, but what about the other 94% of the iceberg and all the sexual sin and all the other sins that have afflicted this nation? And we all need to repent or we will likewise perish. Repentance is a very big deal. The recognition of your sin, the humbling of yourself before God, the crying out for mercy, all these things are very, very, very important. And that's why we draw the distinction between proud gays and homosexuals. point I made with Alan Colmes on his radio program a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
There's a difference. There's a severe difference. Proud gays go to hell. Humble homosexuals will fall on their face before God and cry out with the publican, "Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner." He receives God's forgiveness, and he goes to heaven. So there's a difference between proud gays and humble homosexuals. And that applies to every other sin. You know, there is the proud fornicator and then the humble fornicator falling on his face before God and crying out for God's mercy. And God does have mercy on him. God does forgive him his sin and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. So, you know, the Word of God gives us much, much hope in these things. But unless we repent, unless you repent, unless this nation repents, you will likewise perish. That's the message that Jesus brings home to this. Now, here's one more point I think we need to make, and that is that God is completely sovereign over everything that happens. And Christians need to remind themselves of it. Now, I know that offends the world. And the world doesn't appreciate that. They want to think that somehow these are random events. These are environmentally caused events, and it's really Donald Trump's fault, or it's really Barack Obama's fault, or it's really the fault of radical Islam, or it's the fault of this or that. And if it just wasn't for this or that, we wouldn't have this problem. But, you know, in the end, God is in complete control over what happens. And in Genesis 19, we read that the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. From the Lord out of the heavens. So it says it twice. Mm-hmm. The Lord did it. Now, of course, the modern folks would say, no, 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 that was some kind of a natural event that occurred in a completely random universe in which there is no ultimate cause for anything that happens. Okay, that's the perspective of the naturalist, the materialist today. But that's not what Genesis 19 says. Genesis 19 says the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. From the Lord out of heavens, so he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife looked back behind, and she became a pillar of salt. I think that's important as well. There's a lesson here. When the Lord rains brimstone and fire on a city like Sodom and Gomorrah, don't look back at the city with longing and affection for the city. That is, the application for us is love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world passes away with the lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father shall abide forever. Too many professing Christians really do love the world. They lament God's judgment on the world, and I don't think that's the flavor you get from the Psalms.
Yeah, and I think you said that the world gets offended by this. I think there's a lot of Christians that get offended by this as well, that God would be in sovereign control of all of this. But you take a look at even, you know, our family's going through Daniel right now. The Lord delivered the people of Judah into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
It was God who did this. God sent them. God sent, you know, in Habakkuk, you know, God is the one who sent the armies to come and take over Judah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just some random act. God is in control, and he will ultimately be glorified.
You know, it's also interesting, as we review what happened in Orlando, that the suspect or the man who did the shootings is been uncovered as being something of a closet homosexual himself. He was a patron at the gay bar for years. Pulse patron Kevin West said the 29-year-old Mateen had even messaged him on and off for a year before the shooting using a gay chat and dating app called Jacked, according to the Los Angeles Times. Another patron of this homosexual outlet, Ty Smith, who also uses the name Aries, told the Orlando Sentinel he'd seen Mateen at the club at least a dozen times. His ex-wife, that is the shooter's ex-wife, called him a homosexual recently on a news interview, and reports have it that his father called him a homosexual as well. And that may be something of a surprise to some, but I don't think it ought to be a surprise, largely because of Romans chapter 1, to remember that. The sin of homosexuality, the sin of murder and violence seem to be interlocked as God gives them up to these particular sins. And that, again, is the Romans 1 testimony. So, again, if you're asking yourself, why are these things happening? Somebody explain the backdrop for these things. Just read the Word of God. Very helpful. Read Romans chapter 1, and you'll find some of the reasons why these sorts of things happen in our time, even as they've happened in time past in other places where God gave these societies up to utter degradation. Afghanistan, as you know, is shot through with homosexuality, and this guy is an Afghan immigrant to the United States. So keep that in mind as well. Afghanistan is shot through with homosexuality, friends, Many of the Muslim countries have embraced homosexuality. Reports of homosexuality throughout ISIS is very, very common. In Afghanistan, it's called bachabazi. It's about the sickest, most depraved practice I think anybody has ever come up with in the history of mankind. But it's a practice that's institutionalized in Afghanistan involving young boys. And, of course, this has hit the news many times over the last year or two, where American military men have tried to defend young boys from their abusers. This is a very common thing in Afghanistan, though, especially among police officers and those who happen to have some little bit of political power. So again, friends, Afghanistan shot through with the sin of homosexuality. In fact, it's institutionalized in Afghanistan. According to the New York Times, this was an article that came out a year ago, U.S. soldiers have been told to ignore sexual abuse of boys by Afghan allies. Again, I quote from the New York Times, "The reason we were here is because we heard the terrible things the Taliban were doing to people, how they were taking away human rights," said Dan Quinn, a former Special Forces captain who beat up an American-backed militia commander for keeping a boy chained to his bed as a slave. Here's the quote again from Dan Quinn. "But we were putting people into power who would do things that were worse than the Taliban did." So that, my friends, is a report from the New York Times quoting a certain Dan Quinn who fought for the American Special Forces. He was a captain for the American Special Forces and did what he could to defend these young boys from these homosexuals that dominate in Afghanistan. Friends, this is a sick, sick nation where Islam has been almost in total control for hundreds and hundreds of years. If you want to know what it looks like to live in a nation that had almost no Christian influence, Jesus hasn't been there for a very, very long time, just check out Afghanistan. Of course, we hope that missionaries can make it into these nations somehow, somewhere, and certainly it's not going to be by military force that the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be established in Afghanistan, but we hope that someday it will. The Muslims have something of a love-hate relationship with homosexuality from the beginning, but almost all pagan societies have had a love-hate relationship with homosexuality, friends. When it comes to it, human beings try to build up these gigantic dams to keep sin from completely destroying their nations, but these dams burst again and again and again. That's because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Romans 7:11 speaks of sin seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death, for sin had that tremendous influence over me. Now, again, why do homosexuals murder homosexuals? And that's the question I think a lot of people are facing right now after these Orlando shootings. And Romans 1, again, I think is the answer to this question. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of the error which is due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." There it is, a debased mind, "to do those things not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, and strife." So, friends, there it is, the sin of murder in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, connected with the sin of homosexuality. Sin breeds sin, which breeds more sin, which breeds more sin. That's the nature of man without the salvation of Jesus Christ. And this violence, this murder, seems to attend the sin of homosexuality. In 2013, the CDC released the results of a 2010 study on victimization by sexual orientation and found for gay men, 40% of homosexual men had been abused by violent partners. 40% of homosexual men had been abused by their violent partners, compared to 21% for straight men, meaning that twice as prevalent amongst homosexual men than amongst straight men. So there's a report from the CDC that indicates that homosexuality tends to attract more violence than heterosexuality as well. Well, what's the bottom line as we view what's happening in Orlando today? I think it is, again, the Romans 1 scenario in which God gives them up. Remember, it's God in his common grace, in his common mercy, that prevents society from breaking out to total chaos, to total anarchy, and to the sort of bloodbaths that we see in places like Orlando. Ultimately, it's only God that can prevent the human
human heart from bursting forth and engaging in such horrible, horrible effects upon human society. And Orlando is a picture in which God's common grace, his restraints have been lifted entirely. And when God doesn't restrain, people go nuts in their sins. Orlando is a picture of this Christlessness, a world without Christ. When will people say, all this Islam, this homosexuality, this murder, this violence, this hatred, this malice, it's all wrong. We're all messed up. The human heart is messed up. Out of the human heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality. This is what Jesus says. At some point, I think we as a nation need to realize how messed up we are and how much we need the salvation that only Jesus Christ can bring. Friends, this is the redemption of Jesus. He came to save us from our sins. He came to save the world from sin. And so let's turn to Jesus. Let's be sure we draw people towards Jesus. Let's teach the nations to repent. Let's bring them to repentance by a message concerning sin, a message concerning the holiness of God, and a message concerning the redemption of Jesus, because he came to die on that cross because of the vileness of sin, the power of sin over us, and the corruption of sin that destroys us. That is the redemption of Jesus Christ. My friends, if you're interested in this message of repentance that we need to bring to this nation, I'd encourage you to grab a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality. It's a 2,000-year survey of the sin of homosexuality and how it has infected the modern world. Grab a copy of that simple little hardback book that gives you a biblical background on these issues and, again, encourages people towards the relevance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in which Jesus came to save us from these sins. Keep the Faith on Sexuality is a little book available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.